Welcome to DeetNB College. In this lesson, we're going deep on how to sequence a ragakot with macro controls in Ableton Live 12 and make it feel like a real instrument inside a jungle or old-school DNB arrangement. The goal is not just to chop up a vocal loop. The goal is to build something playable, something that can open a tune, punctuate a drop, and act like a signature hook without turning into vocal clutter. That's the difference between a sample thrown on top of a track and a vocal part that actually belongs to the record. A ragakot has a special job in DNB. It brings attitude, heritage, and instant identity. But if you just drag in a raw phrase and leave it running, it can get messy fast. Too wide, too long, too bright, too random, and suddenly it's fighting the snare, clouding the bass, and killing the pocket. So we're going to shape it with intent, sequence it musically, and give ourselves performance control with macros. Start with one strong source phrase. Don't overthink it yet. You want a vocal with clear consonants, a few different vowel sounds, and enough attitude to carry the tune. A sharp attack helps it cut through breaks. A sustained syllable helps you create little held moments. A breath or tail can be useful for transitions. Once the phrase is in Ableton, make sure it warped cleanly enough to sit in time, but don't sterilize it. Old school jungle and ragga energy often lives in that slight human push-pull. If the vocal has a little grit and movement already, keep some of that character. What to listen for here is simple. Does the sample have clear attack and a stable body? If it's all tail, it disappears. If it's all hard edge, it can get brittle after processing. Now slice it into a drum rack. This is where the vocal stops being a loop and starts becoming playable. You can slice by transients if the phrase naturally has strong syllables and changes. That gives you a more human, ragga performance feel. Or you can slice by rhythmic division if you want a stricter, more gridlock DJ tool feel. For jungle and old-school flavor DNB, transient slicing is usually the better first move, because it preserves the personality while still letting you reorder the phrase. As you build the drum rack, keep related sounds near each other. Put the strongest chops where they're easy to reach. If a slice has too much tail, tighten it inside the simpler chain. You want control, not a wash of random audio. Before you get fancy with macros, write a short MIDI pattern. Keep it sparse. Think like a drummer, not a top-line writer. A strong opener on beat one, or just before it, then a reply in the middle of the bar, then maybe a turnaround phrase into the loop restart. You do not need every 16th filled. In DNB, space is part of the groove. What to listen for here is whether the vocal bounces with the break. It should answer the snare, not sit on top of it. If a chop is landing awkwardly, move it a few milliseconds rather than forcing everything into rigid quantization. That tiny push or pull can make the whole thing feel alive. Now shape the sound with a simple stock chain. Keep it practical. EQ 8 first to clear unnecessary low end. Usually you'll high pass somewhere above 120 Hz, sometimes higher if the sample is thick. If there's mud, dip a little around the low mids. If there's a nasty bite, scan the upper mids and tame only the harsh spot. Then add a little saturator for grit and density. Light compression if needed, just enough to keep the peaks under control. After that, put on an auto filter, because that's going to become one of your main performance tools. Why this works in DNB is simple. The vocal needs to live in the mid-range without stepping on the kick and sub. Jungle already has a lot happening in the drums. If the vocal brings too much low mid energy, it immediately makes the mix smaller. So get it out of the bass lane early, and let the bass and drums own the bottom. Now group the drum rack into an instrument rack and map some macros. This is where the sound becomes performable. One macro should control the filter cutoff. Another can control grit, by mapping saturator drive and maybe a small compensation move if needed. A third can handle space, like delay throw or reverb send. And if you want a fourth, you can map something that creates stutter or gate-like phrase chopping. The key is that every macro must do a real job. If a knob barely changes anything, it's dead weight. If it changes too much, the rack becomes unpredictable. You want the sweet spot in the middle of the knob range, so you can automate it musically and still have finesse. What to listen for when you move the filter macro is whether the vocal shifts from buried and tense to open and articulate without jumping in volume all over the place. If the level changes too much, compensate with gain or EQ. A really strong next move is to build two flavors inside the rack. Think of it like A and B states. One version can be more dubby, darker, and more spacious. The other can be drier, tighter, and more forward. The dub version is great for intros and transitions. The drier version usually wins in the drop, because it punches through the break with less smear. This is a powerful idea because it helps you decide what the vocal is actually doing. Is it a ghostly atmosphere, or is it a rhythmic hook in the foreground? Now test it against the drums, not in solo. This is where the tune starts telling you the truth. Put the vocal beside your breakbeat or drum loop and listen immediately in context. Place the strongest vocal accents so they support the break. A chop on or just before the snare can work brilliantly. A reply in the hole after the snare can make the rhythm feel intentional. A tail that fills the gap into the next hit can add tension. What to listen for is whether the vocal feels like it's answering the snare. That call and response is a huge part of why raga cuts work so well in jungle. They don't just sit there, they interact. If the vocal is fighting the groove, don't automate more stuff yet. Rework the chop placement first. Now start using automation with phrase logic. Don't make the macros wiggle constantly for no reason. Indeed, NB, movement should feel like arrangement. A good pattern is to keep the filter mostly closed at the start, then open it during a phrase reveal, then add a little space on the final word before the next section. After that, pull it back again so the drop stays dry and focused. That kind of shape gives the vocal a story. Why this works in DNB is because the listener needs the arrangement to breathe. If the vocal is always fully open and fully wet, it loses impact. But if it changes state over 2 or 4 bars, it can act like a proper musical event. It can create anticipation, release, and tension without taking over the front of the mix. A good trick for heavier jungle is to resample the best pass once the macro movement feels right. Record yourself riding the controls in real time while the drums and bass play. Then choose the best take and commit it to audio. This is one of the biggest finishing moves in production, because it turns the setup into an actual track element. It also frees CPU and stops you from endlessly tweaking. And honestly, once you've got a great pass, printing it helps you think like a record maker instead of a loop builder. That's a good mindset to keep. When you print, trim the silence carefully and fade your edges so nothing clicks. If you need 2 versions, print a drier one for the main drop and a wetter, throw heavy one for the intro or transition. That gives you instant arrangement options. Now arrange it like a DJ-friendly hook, not a vocal demo. In the intro, the vocal can tease with filtering and sparse chops. At the drop, keep it dry and rhythmic. In the midsection, reduce the density and let the drums breathe. Then at the build, widen the space a little and use a delay throw on the last phrase. For the second drop, don't just make it louder. Change 1 or 2 things. Swap the final chop order. Open the filter a bit more. Remove the first hit so the downbeat feels more open. Small changes like that keep the hook familiar but evolving. What to listen for now is whether the vocal is still readable when the full mix comes in. If the bass drop feels smaller when the vocal is active, you probably have too much low mid content, too much stereo width, or too much constant motion. The vocal should enhance the drop, not crowd it. A few quick pro moves make this even stronger. Keep the core vocal mostly mono or narrow. If you want width, add it only to the high airy residue, not the body. Try a parallel distorted layer if you need more bite, but high pass it hard so it only adds edge. Use filtered repeats as tension, not decoration. A single dub throw before a fill can feel massive if the rest of the phrase stays dry. And if you want a more ominous feel, automate the filter downward into the phrase end rather than always opening it up. A closing filter can feel darker and more dangerous. Avoid the common traps. Don't leave too much low end in the vocal chain. Don't overquantize the chops until they sound dead. Don't drench the whole phrase in delay and reverb. Don't make the macros so extreme that they become unusable. And don't skip the resample step. If you found a great pass, print it and move on. That's how it becomes part of the tune. Here's the real mindset shift. Treat the raga cut like a rhythmic lead, not a vocal loop. It should answer the break, mark transitions, or carry a hook. If it doesn't improve one of those roles, cut it out or simplify it. That's how you keep the track clean and powerful. For a darker roller or heavier jungle track, keep the vocal restrained and focused. Pair it with a controlled bass line, not a busy one. Let the vocal bring the motion, while the bass holds the weight. The contrast is what makes it hit. So to recap, you want to start with one strong phrase, slice it into a playable rack, write a sparse MIDI pattern, shape it with EQ, saturation, compression, and filtering, then map macros that actually perform useful changes. Automate in bars, not chaos. Print the best pass. Then arrange it like a hook that evolves across the tune. If the vocal feels like it's answering the break instead of sitting on top of it, You're in the right zone. Now try the practice challenge. Give yourself 15 minutes. Use one vocal phrase, only 3 macros. Keep the main pattern under 8 chops and commit one version to audio before the timer ends. Make one dry version and one wetter throw version. Then test it in mono, with drums and bass, and ask yourself one simple question. Does this feel like a deliberate rhythm, or just a textured sample? If you want to push further, take on the homework challenge too. Build a 4-bar drop version and a 2-bar transition version using only stock Ableton devices, one source phrase, and 3 macros total. Save the rack, print the best pass, and compare how the two versions serve different parts of the arrangement. That's the kind of discipline that turns a cool vocal chop into a proper D&B weapon. Nice work. Keep it functional, keep it punchy, and let the ragga cut speak like it belongs in the break.